Hey everyone, welcome to Success is a New Black. We have a special guest, Cannapreneur, talking about the emerging business of getting high on cannabis, business-wise. Can't wait for you to check it out. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to another episode of Success is the New Black. I am your host, Ashita Andre, and with me I have my guest, host.
Oh, hi, Tara. I do this every week. I get caught up in it every week. I should be used to by now. Yes. I know. Sorry.
Meant to say co-host, actually. And I have a special guest with us today. We have Bonita Bo Money, who is a cannapreneur, and she's going to be talking about the emerging business of being in the cannabis business. So I can't wait to get into it with you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, ladies, and thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited, too. And I want to jump into it because I'm really excited about this, because at first I was a little hesitant about talking about the cannabis industry because I have my own personal, you know, beliefs in it and what I see, what I know. And I'm so glad that you're on this show because you are going to school us today. And I cannot wait to get schooled about it.
Wonderful. I'm glad to educate.
I have to ask you, though, did you change your name? Because, you know, cannabis business is going to be so big and so profitable. Did you change your last name to Money? If you did, no judgment. I think it makes perfect sense.
Look, it knocked my head back down.
I think it makes perfect sense. I just want to know.
Absolutely not. My father's name is actually Benjamin Franklin Money.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Okay. Yes. I had to ask that one off the bat. Sorry about that.
Yes. So, no, I'm not that vain, but yeah. But it just kind of fits in, doesn't
totally.
It?
Totally. It'd the be green visionary. Rush and, yeah. Yes. I was like, you're total visionary. I get it. Put it out there. Totally get it.
So I want to jump into how you got started in the cannabis business and then take us through the cannabis business so that myself and the audience can understand exactly what the cannabis business is, because it's not about getting high.
Absolutely not. And this is what we need to educate people on, is what the business or the industry of cannabis is. And I think that people are so misinformed, and they just don't want to educate themselves because they think that there's nothing else to educate themselves on, but there really is. So let's start with my background. I come from the entertainment business, TV and film. Transitioned into cannabis 2 years ago. Felt that what was going on in Colorado was definitely to be explored. I saw what Colorado was doing economic-wise, and I knew it was going to be big business. I mean, when you talk about billions of dollars and creating generational wealth, it's really time for us to get involved.
Right.
So I looked for women's groups to network, found one, and started attending, but I just didn't find that it was enough for me. It really didn't educate me enough to know what I wanted to do in the business. So that was a big challenge, knowing what I was going to do. So that was my next step, was, you know, trying to figure out what it is that I was going to venture into, because it was a whole new industry for me. You know, I'm like you, I come from entertainment.
Yeah, it's a whole new world. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different, complete world, right. And so exactly. Much of chemistry and science, and so much more than what we know it as.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, well, listen, I had the same idea that you did. You know, people just get high. I had a boyfriend that all he did was get high, and I used to go, what is wrong with you? I used to go, oh my God. I said, you're just a junkie. Yeah. You know, that was my views on it. I didn't understand the medicinal part of cannabis, which is huge. I mean, this plant is amazing. It does amazing things. And this is what made me really, really say, you know what? This is something for me. Because it was more than just coming in to make money. Of course, the economics of it is huge.
Right.
But at the same time, I wanted to have a purpose. And that was big for me. Because I really can't get into something wholeheartedly unless there's something that's driving me. And it has to be a passion.
So was there a certain situation, was there a certain something that happened that made you say, okay, let me learn more about this 2 years ago?
Well, let's go back a little bit. When I didn't find what I needed as far as the networking, I started Women Above Ground, and above is spelled ABUV. There's a little twist on that. But I started a group that could ultimately network and really create resources and educate people the right way, you know, and I wanted to also open up the whole, like, people of color into the industry, you know, ignite communities to get involved and really, you know, create generational wealth for their families. It's important that we do that, you know, educate ourselves. So this is why I started that. In my journey, one of my best friends, her name is Princess Inga, she got the MRSA bacteria during a surgery. Mm. So
And let people know what MRSA, just in case they don't know.
MRSA, which is spelled M-R-S-A, is a bacterial, it's a staph infection. Mm. It's a bacterial staph infection that is incurable because it is drug resistant. So therefore, they'll put you on antibiotics like vancomycin, which doesn't work.
Right.
And so they end up cutting away the infected area. The only problem with that, it comes back. Mm. So generally, they end up amputating the area.
Okay.
So people lose limbs, they lose feet, they lose, you know, part of their foot,
lose
toes, fingers, part of their breast. And that's what they wanted to do to my girlfriend. After 54 days of treatment, nothing worked. And they said that, look, we're going to have to amputate the area. Mm. She just said, you know, she couldn't wrap her mind around that, losing a body part. So she went home, started planning her funeral, and said, you know, yeah, it was that real. They gave her 3 weeks to live. They said if she got off treatment and didn't amputate, allow them to amputate, that she had 3 weeks. Because the bacteria had went into her blood at that point.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, so she calls me up because she knew I was working with oils. Because I was working with cannabis oils to work with, like, cancer patients, Alzheimer's, things like that. So what happened was that she wanted me to create something that could work for her. Because she researched that cannabis could possibly work with MRSA. But I had never heard of such a thing. You know, nor did I want to be responsible for her living or dying. That was huge in itself. So I had to really think about that. But she said, look, I have nothing to lose at this point. So I researched, and I found out not only cannabis works, but there was 5 other extracts that were very, very, I would say, instrumental and very crucial for the cream. And so I had a girlfriend out of Maine. Her name's Michelle Bell. She created a cannabis cream. It was a coconut oil-based cream. And I asked her what was in it. So she told me the ingredients. It just didn't have all the extracts that we needed that were crucial for, you know, the bacteria. And we didn't know if it would work. Mm. We didn't know. We're not scientists, biochemists, none of that. But we were desperate. So I used her base cream. What I did is I put the extractions, which were about 4 other different extracts. They're all organic. And infused them in the cream and gave it to my girlfriend. And I made an oil for her, a cannabis-based oil for her to ingest for the blood with the same extracts that were in the cream, and had her dose 3 times a day. And it killed the bacteria in 4 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was truly amazing.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of like the vessel that God used because it couldn't have been any other way, you know. And thank God for my girlfriend Michelle, because ultimately, yeah, my girlfriend would have been dead.
Wow. How is she doing now?
Oh, she's awesome.
So did you guys go back to the hospital and tell the doctors and share that with them, or did they?
No, he's the one that shared it with us because he had to do a culture test that week.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so he was the one that gave us the news. And he was so shocked and amazed because he said, not only that, he said, what's so unusual? He says that even when we amputate, he said there's still some bacteria left and there was not a trace of bacteria.
Well, if it got into her blood, it could have been all over her. It could have infected her all over her body.
It was, but
that's amazing.
It's crazy. It was. We just were in disbelief. So we didn't want to. You know, we didn't want to stop there because we're like, okay, is this a fluke?
Right.
We had to check it out. So I've treated about 5 or 6 other MRSA patients since then.
Now, when you infuse it, I just want the audience to know you don't get high off of it because the ingredient that you get high on is extracted out, or is that still inside the ingredient?
Okay, well, the actual first formula had THC in it, and THC
THC
right, that is a psychoactive part of cannabis. That's what people can get high off of. Okay, but as a topical, it really won't get you high anyway.
Okay,
but we've taken that out because we wanted a formula that we could ship all over the world.
Right, share with everyone.
Yes.
Okay.
Because once we had it, it went viral. Because my girlfriend shared her story on social media. So it went viral, the news. And so everybody wanted to know what was in it. And, you know, well, they wanted to know how she got cured first. And she said, my girlfriend bought me a cream and an oil, one to put on my breast and one to ingest. And she said she brought me these 2 glass jars. And they were like, what's in that glass jar? And that's why we call it that glass jar, is because they want to know what was in it.
That's the name.
That's great. That's fantastic.
See, yeah, exactly. Because people always go, what an odd name, that glass jar. You know, but there's a story behind it. And it's a deep-rooted, like, you know, just emotional
yes
feeling around the right. whole thing, you know, because it does. This cream saves lives.
Now, with the cream and with it going viral, mm-hmm. at any time were you ever concerned about any legal issues? Because as we know, you know, marijuana, medicinal, recreational, yeah. it's starting to become a proposition in each yes. individual state. But the federal law still has its same stance on marijuana. Did you have any opposition?
It was a huge issue for us. And this is why we pulled the THC out. This is just what you have, the sample. And this
I got a sample.
Right. And this is the actual jar. And right now we're working on the labeling because, you know, understand, we never made this to actually manufacture and put out. Mm-hmm. But because everybody was, like, really, really in need of it, mm-hmm. we decided, hey, we've got to put it out there and give it to the world, actually. So we pulled out the THC. So now it's a CBD formula. And really, I don't even need the CBD in there because it's really the terpenes in there that actually are effective. And mm-hmm. just so you know what terpenes are, they're what creates scents in like flowers and things like that.
Yeah. So this plant is, I mean, it's really about the complexity and the beauty of the plant. There's so many different parts of the plant that you can extract and use for different things. And I don't think, at least in our community, the African American community, we've ever explored anything more than just the getting high part.
True. Exactly. You see, this is the right. problem. Seriously. Because this is what women above ground, and I'm also starting men above ground, but this is what we really, really try to educate our people on and our members is that, look, it's not about getting high. It's about healing. Mm-hmm. It's about taking the best components out of this plant and utilizing it.
Right.
I mean, it's curing cancer. It's like working with Alzheimer's. It's like stopping seizures. What it's doing for children is amazing. You know, and then now MRSA. And then this cream, psoriasis and eczema, 12 Done. Hours. Oh, my God. It treats it like no other. And, you know, people spend $30,000 a year to treat psoriasis with the injectables and topicals and nothing works. So when you can take an organic cream like this and it'll treat in 12 hours with no side effects.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's on, like Whoopi Goldberg and a partner did put something on the market early this year to help with menstrual cramps. And that. So like... There's tons of different ways you can use.
Absolutely. Think about it. Like this one, this is the Jack Hair 420 brand. This is the actual conditioner, hair conditioner. They've got a whole body line of like lotions, shampoos. The facial scrub is awesome. They've got the energy drinks. Now, these are all just hemp infused. So there's no CBD. There's no even THC in these.
Okay.
So these are completely legal. They won't get you high, but they're all cannabis related.
So when you say infused, mm-hmm. it's just from the plant, it's just infused into the product.
Yes.
But they just extract the part that gets you high. Is that what that means?
You mean?
THC. THC. So they just remove the THC?
Yeah, when you have products like this.
Okay.
Now, you have some infused products like edibles that do right. have THC in them.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you do have some products that do have THC. Okay. And like the joints that people smoke, of course, right. have THC.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those have THC.
Yeah. Right.
So when I'm watching, and I was watching a mother speak about her daughter having cancer.
Yes.
And she talked about marijuana helping her daughter live again. And so when I was watching it before I had the opportunity to interview you today, I was watching it and I was thinking, okay, so what actually is in it that's helping her daughter live again? Is it the fact that she's high, I'm just wondering? Or is it something in the plant that's an actual part, something that's in the plant that's not about getting high that's helping her daughter
right.
live again? And so now I'm just glad that you're here because when I was watching it, I just couldn't understand or relate to what I'm sitting here going, okay, but what's, because that's all I know
right.
is getting high. So what is it in the plant that is helping her daughter live again?
It's the CBDs and then also the terpenes. And there's like hundreds of terpenes, you know, like terpenes are what create the scents and
okay.
like different plants and flowers and things like that. But those elements, those terpenes are so healing.
Okay.
I mean, I think for me and my research, I found that they're actually more instrumental than the CBDs because I can pull the CBD out of my cream and it would still be as effective.
Wow.
Just from the terpenes. So that's what they're finding in research now that actually the terpenes are actually, you know, because the big thing was CBD for years. But now they're finding that the terpenes are actually really effective. And we can pull them out of other plants, trees, all that as well.
So if somebody has psoriasis,
yes,
they will just put it on every day? a couple of times a day and all over their body or just the areas? So if they just have it on their hands or if they have it on their back or do they just put it all over?
Well, it depends. I mean, they can use it the way they want to use it. Of course, okay. Again, my cream is completely organic, so they can put it anywhere they want to put it. But generally, they put it around the affected areas.
Every day?
Yes.
Or multiple times a day or just once? Or just it just varies?
It depends. If they shower, they should put it on again. But actually, you can put it on once and you'll be fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this to my coworker.
Yeah, you have. You
know, I'm going to give it to people to try.
Yeah,
because I am so excited about this.
She will drive you crazy. Because I'm telling you, my psoriasis, like patients, when they try it,
yeah,
I swear to God, in 12 hours, they're texting me, oh my God, when can I get more of this? Oh my God, I got to see you. Oh yeah, I've had someone drive 350 miles to come get a jar and just show up at my doorstep.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wait, this industry is a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. And we're talking everything from the dispensaries to what you're saying is, you know, non-dispensary, you know, medicinal products and that type of thing. But as I understand it, getting a license, let's say you're in a state, California, we have Prop 64 that's coming up, and then Colorado. If you want to enter this business, being a female or even a person of color, there seems to be some huge barriers of entry into this industry in order to get a license.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, legally, financially, I mean, what is, you know, Women Above Ground doing in order to educate people about or maybe even help the process for people to get licensed?
Well, this is what we're speaking on as far as education and as like the barriers, because there's several barriers. And of course, financial is one.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of states like Illinois, for example, they have only a certain amount of licensing. I think it's like maybe 18 that they're going to issue.
Mm-hmm.
But you're required to put up like $2 million of assets. Yeah.
It's insane.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. I mean, I've heard of those figures. I've heard of those, you know, enormous figures. I've heard you have to have like a board of 20 people. Like it's there. These requirements in each of these states just seem to go on and on
that are clear barriers, though.
You know,
and they're targeting certain people. You know, women and people of color. I hate to use the word minorities because we're not a minority.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hispanics aren't a minority. You know, African Americans aren't a minority. Asians aren't a minority. You know, we are the majority, actually.
We are.
So I just say people of color. But there's plenty of barriers being put up. Another one is the legal criminal aspect, because a lot of men of color, especially Hispanic and black men, have criminal records related to marijuana. Okay, from 1986 to 2003, 56% of men that went to jail for marijuana, 56 were black, 56%, and I think 34% were Hispanic. Those are large numbers because the war of drugs were targeted towards certain.
Wow.
And are these restrictions as far as having a felony on your record, is it strictly based on if you have a felony related to a drug-related charge, or is it any felony? Which even expands the net even further and knocks out more and more people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But especially the ones that have the drug charges, you know, so... Unfortunately, that's another barrier. Then you have the educational barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that, I would say, is self-inflicted because they don't want to learn. Because a lot of like men of color have fear to get into the industry because they've been so traumatized by going to prison for this plant. So they're like, we don't want to deal with this at all. So they don't even think there's a place for them, actually.
There really is.
I mean, there's so many ancillary areas of cannabis. You don't have to cultivate, which, you know, means to grow, or have a dispensary and sell. You don't have to grow or sell to be in the business. And most people think that's all you can do, which is so ignorant to me. It drives me nuts.
Oh, okay.
It does.
Okay, so now we get somewhere, because that's all I see. And I see the little green cross when I'm driving down the street.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay, because that's all I know.
Yeah, in the community. Yes. Yeah, that's what we see.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so think about this. And this is what I tell everyone, is to transition, transfer your skill set or your passion into the cannabis industry. So whatever you do well or whatever you have a passion for, just transfer it into cannabis. So if you're into marketing or you're into PR, you have an HR company, you have a payroll company, you have a security company, all that is needed in the mainstream level of cannabis now.
Yeah, I'm from the legal background, and I know there are people,
that's
lawyers,
huge,
popping up having a marijuana specialization now, which was something when I took the bar however many years ago wasn't even heard of.
Exactly.
Right. Marijuana specialization.
It's huge. You know, I was in Arizona speaking 2 weeks ago for the Southwest Conference, and I had all these law students, okay, African-American women that were in law school down there that all came to the cannabis conference and wanted to hear about diversity in cannabis because they want to know how to get in. And she said, honestly, I want to be in cannabis, and I'm going to use my law degree to specialize in you know, the legal end of cannabis.
It's an up-and-coming thing.
It's huge. In fact, one of my girlfriends that I speak with on these panels, she's a cannabis attorney, and she's so needed because people need to stay legal. They need to stay in compliance. Right. And how do you do that? You have to have someone that has your back all the time.
All the time.
Because, you know, we're not federally legal. So this is why I don't even consider this a full-fledged industry yet.
Right.
Because they can shut us down any time. And even county to county, they can shut you down. The county regulations are different from state. So even though statewide we're legal, there are going to be some counties where you can't sell cannabis at all. You can't grow cannabis at all. We're going to still have those issues.
Well, I'm originally from Georgia. And I can, I mean, so you, exactly. Saying Georgia was like,
right.
Oh, that ain't going to happen no time soon.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, which is true.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is, and we're starting to hit certain states. You know, in California, mm-hmm. we're going to vote on it. It's starting to happen.
Absolutely.
How far do you think we are from federal regulations changing?
At least 5 years.
Okay.
In California?
No, federal. Federally, I think it's going to take a lot more states to mm-hmm. go recreationally legal mm-hmm. before we'll be federally legal.
Right. But so, 5 years is still better than nothing, what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, it could change, definitely. Even, it may be faster than that. If all these five states that are up for vote, mm-hmm. recreational, this like in November, if they go legal, I think we might move faster federally, too.
And do you always, when you're working in this industry, speaking on this industry, is that kind of something that you're always worried about? Are you always looking over your shoulder thinking about, well, is someone looking at me federally? Am I, you know, are you nervous about being in the industry?
Not at all. I have so much fun. I love this industry. And I love this plant. Are you kidding me? Okay, you have to understand, I'm completely legal.
Right.
I don't have anything that the feds could talk to me about.
Explain that, because I know for a fact, hemp, because we've heard about hemp. There's clothes that are made from hemp.
Exactly.
I mean, there's so many different things.
Okay, so these are all hemp, right? For instance, these are hemp. And also, you can extract CBDs from hemp, and then you can also extract CBDs from the flower, which would be the cannabis plant. So those are two different things, because hemp does not have THC in it.
Yeah, so yeah, you see hemp everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you know it's still illegal to grow hemp here?
Here in California?
No, in the United States.
Oh, in the United States.
Oh. It's still considered Schedule One. They're just starting to change things now.
And you see hemp everywhere.
We can import it, but we can't grow it.
We can't grow it.
I love the face.
Isn't that crazy to you?
Yeah, no. I mean, but when I think about people, being that we've heard of and more familiar with people starting dispensaries and starting mm-hmm. to cultivate it, but even the financial barrier to cultivate it, you're talking about millions of dollars to even start growing the plant. And from what I've learned, the plant is very delicate, so it has to have mm-hmm. a particular temperature, and it has to be like...
Under lights, so
it's this huge thing that, you know, it could be very profitable, but again, it can be very risky, which, you know, most business is, but this seems to be such a huge risk that you're taking with this. Do we see women of color, you know, taking that chance and jumping in?
Well, what you'll see, not women of color, but a lot of women right now are coming in the industry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw Time Magazine and Newsweek last year. They did the front cover, and it said marijuana, the first billion-dollar business that will not be dominated by men.
Yes, okay. Yes, and I saw that.
And you guys still didn't pay attention when you saw that?
Because in our mind, we're still thinking, well, at least for me, I shouldn't speak for you, I'm sorry. But in my mind, I'm still. Oh, are they just still getting high? That's what I see. Because they're not talking, at least from what I read, mm-hmm. they're not talking about oils. They're not talking about the help of your friend who's the football player who we're going to get into in a moment to help mm-hmm. with the concussions.
Right.
I'm not seeing that a lot. I'm seeing the negative aspects of it that they, you know, because again, people who are against it, mm-hmm. you know, they'll try to manipulate the mind to say, hey, let's vote against this. Let's not, you know, this is bad.
Right.
And so now that's why I'm so glad that you're here, because now I'm seeing a whole different side of it. Now I'm seeing the health benefits of it. Now I'm seeing the fact that I can help a friend who has psoriasis and the oils and the tropicals and the treatments and, you know, all these different things. And so now I'm just intrigued. read.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so now when I read it, I'm going to have a different view.
Right, a different view.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
I had the same view.
Right,
absolutely. So speaking of, let's talk about the football player that is using it for concussions.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Marvin Washington, he's an ex-Super Bowl champ. He's been advocating for about 3 years. He has Isodal Sports, that's his line, and it's a CBD line. And it works with prevention of concussions. Well, not concussions, you can't really prevent that, but the effects from the concussions like CTE. So, I mean, even down to Pop Warner age children.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that'll be awesome because, you know, preventative medicine is awesome.
It's amazing to have it. And again, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be the type of thing where it's going to require education because so many of these products we're using for children, we're using for cancer patients, we're using for older people and younger.
Epilepsy.
There's tons of benefits.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the thing where you have to, again, the education is so important.
Absolutely.
So how are you guys reaching out? I mean, I know you're speaking at tons of conferences. I mean, are you working on like a PR plan or something just to get the word out?
Absolutely. We do a lot of events, and that's, you know, and it's outreach. And that's what we're speaking of today is just about outreach because we need to like be able to, like even coming on short shows like yours, and being able to educate your audience, you know, and you're worldwide. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
But we need to really get into those communities that don't know that they can be part of this or that they don't know that they can heal themselves, that they're, you know, because there's a lot of older Hispanics that are so against cannabis. If they knew the effects, the healing effects, that it could help with their arthritis, they could help with their joint pain, they could help with their Alzheimer's.
It's true.
Yes,
because I'm thinking of
health.
Like, you know, my mom's going to watch this and I'm going to say, well, call my mom and say, okay, well, mom, let's talk about, you know, the different side of marijuana. My mom's a 74-year-old woman in Georgia. Yes. So she's like, what? No.
You know, right.
But it's, I mean, it starts, it starts one person at a time.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I was just having this discussion yesterday because I was telling everybody that now my parents started using it. They were so against it. They would not try my cream. Because they thought it had, well, they knew it had marijuana, but they didn't understand what parts of marijuana or cannabis. You know, they had that old way of thinking, like, it's illegal. My brother was like, look, are you kidding me? This is a topical. First, even if it did have THC, it would not get you high. Now, he said, but that has no THC. It has CBD, and it can work so much with your pain, because this works wonders with pain. Like, for 2-3 days, you will have no pain. It's amazing.
That was amazing.
And my mother has leg pain constantly. So, and then also with Marvin's line, because he put them a little goodie bag together of all his products. He has CBD water. He has the drops, all that.
Oh, water? That's great. Okay.
Well, tell us about the water.
Oh, the water's awesome. It's a high pH alkaline water that has CBD in it.
I was getting ready to ask if it was alkaline.
And it's awesome. So you're getting all those, like, just great, great, like, minerals. And, oh, it's just wonderful. It's just, and the CBDs. So you're just getting healed all over the place.
So out of curiosity, there's just no side effects because it's all natural, right? There's no...
Side effects to what?
To the water or to the creams. There's nothing that can happen because of all of the plants that are in it. Just out of curiosity. I'm just
wondering. Like with the water? I mean, the water's completely healthy. CBDs, you know, you have to understand your body produces the whole, like, you know, cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids, okay.
Okay, we have cannabinoid receptors. Okay, from the time you are born and you're taking in that breast milk, your mother's giving that to you.
Oh,
we produce it naturally.
Okay.
This is why we're so receptive. That's why our body heals from it.
Okay.
We have an endocannabinoid system.
So why are they not talking about this when they're educating us about I had no idea.
Yes. Well, this is why Bo is here. This is her purpose.
I know, but I'm just like, I'm loving this because I did not know that.
Right, absolutely. And people should know this because it's very simple and basic. Is our body receives it so well and we heal from it because we're craving it. You know, as we get older, we're not producing as much.
Okay.
So that's why it's so good. So there's no way you're going to get side effects. That's like saying, okay, am I producing too much dopamine?
Right.
It's something we naturally produce. Right. So
it's really crucial for we as people of color and women to organize as quickly as possible because this industry is booming. And if we wait for 2 seconds too long, just like anything, no offense to him, I love men, but if we don't jump in, we're, you know, getting where we fit in, it will be yet another male-dominated industry.
Correct.
And are your organization is going around state by state organizing. Can you find local chapters in different states?
Yes, that's what we're doing. Local chapters. We have Denver. We've got Boston. We've got L.A. We're opening up San Francisco. And I have one in Amsterdam,
okay,
which is awesome. So that's, we're the amazing, first international organization, you know, networking, especially for people of color, which is awesome. But understand this, we don't exclude, and that's what I make very clear when I speak, is that I'm about inclusion. I want everybody to have an opportunity to get involved. So it's just about inclusion of everybody. So I'm not saying that, okay, because you're not a person of color, you can't be involved. No, absolutely not. We want to support inclusion, because that's what it is. It's about supporting people to be able to get involved in a $1 billion business that is going to make probably the most millionaires and billionaires in this century.
I agree.
Truly.
Do you think there's any chance whatsoever that the proposition won't pass in California when we go to election in November?
I hope it doesn't pass. I'm voting no.
Okay.
It's a horrible bill.
And I think that's the thing about it. Like, you've seen advertisements mm-hmm. about it, but mm-hmm. you don't know the details regarding
yes.
the bill. So it's yeah. all about reading. I mean, yeah. I gotta
but
read
then
my
when
book
you
too.
Read it, you still don't understand it sometimes, because when you're reading it, because when I was reading my bill, mm-hmm. when I got the big thick booklet,
I know, I
and
mine.
I'm sitting reading the pros and the cons,
right.
and I'm like, okay, but I'm reading the pro and I'm reading the con, but I feel like I'm not getting all the information
okay.
to be able to make a really good decision. So in your words, mm-hmm. why do you think it's a horrible bill?
Because of the fact it's going to limit us quite a bit. You know, just because you legalize doesn't mean that it's going to be just all wonderful. I mean, understand, with legalization comes regulation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so understand, now they're going to put their hands on everything. Right now, you know, there's not a whole lot of, like, serious regulation going on. We're still in the gray area. I agree that we do need regulation, but it needs to work. And the bill doesn't work because they're going to limit the smoking, like where people can smoke. So people that really, really are patients, it's going to limit them from being able to medicate. And not only that, but it's going to up the arrest rates, because now you're going to give law enforcement the opportunity to arrest people, because now it's a true law regulation that you can't smoke on the street. You can't smoke in your car. You can't smoke in different places, you know,
mm-hmm.
where before you could. So they're going to have designated areas that it's not going to work for it, because you know people are going to be smoking down the street.
Well, they right. do now. I right. mean, no offense.
Well, of course they do. That's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, of course they can't smoke in public places and right. restaurants right. and things. Of course, you know, where it infringes on people, and that makes sense. But then also the taxes. It's going to be so costly, people that are true patients aren't going to be able to afford it. They're not going to be able to afford to medicate. You know, we have a 15% excise tax. It's going to be $10 on every ounce. Plus a 2.5 some other tax, which is a nothing tax.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have, like, county taxes on top of state taxes. It's going to, like, double the price of weed. It's crazy.
So when they, if they pass this proposition, mm-hmm. and I'll be very honest, I haven't read the bill mm-hmm. backwards and forwards, but making it a real regulation, are they not carving out anything to add medicinal marijuana to people's insurance, you know, provision? So if it is a regulated, you know, drug that you can now use, I know it's not federally, but are there no provisions or parameters being allowed, you know, as far as your insurance is concerned? There'd be no insurance coverage allowed.
Well, this bill isn't for medical. This bill is for recreational.
Right.
So that they're not concerned with that. You okay. know, you understand
yeah,
what
no,
I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I completely understand.
And this is my issue, is that they're taking it away. You know, I mean, they're taking it from the whole medical movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because for true patients, they need to be able to dose where it's affordable, you know, otherwise what sense does it make, you know? And then also you have an issue of just arrests. You know, look at Colorado. Arrests have gone up for people of color since they went legal.
It's a fast, I mean, it has such so many pros and cons and there's a lot of miseducation out there, and, you know, we're trying to educate people. It's just a really, it's kind of like that gray industry, that gray area.
Yeah.
What can you know, just suggest, like, something we always try to ask our guests, what is it that you can do, one thing you can do right now tangibly to change someone's idea or change this movement? I mean, do you have, like, tangible things that people can do?
In what areas? Are you talking about?
I think it really in education, because I think that's where the big hang up is that mm-hmm. people are not educated on what this plant can do besides, you know, people in the corner getting high.
Yeah, I think that what people need to understand is that they need to educate themselves, and they can research. The research is out there. You know what I mean? It's easy. Just go online and just put in medical marijuana, put mm-hmm. in cannabis, you know, the effects of cannabis, you know, for health, for cancer, for epilepsy, for all that. It's out there for them. But what I would say is that they also need to make sure that they don't exclude themselves. You know, get involved with networking groups. Find a mentor. If you truly want to be in the cannabis business, find a mentor. Find somebody that's already been in the industry. Learn, you know, and get involved. I mean, don't miss out on this. I call it the pot-com business, just like the dot-com.
Right.
If you missed out on that, the pot-com era is here. Get involved. But, you know, ultimately, it's about also knowing the law. You know, they need to educate themselves because you always want to stay in compliance. That's very important.
Very crucial
because we're targeted anyway.
Right.
So they're waiting for us to step out of compliance. Mm-hmm. So that's important. But just educate yourself on the legal ends of cannabis because it is an industry, or it's about to be a full-fledged industry, especially when we go federal.
Right.
At this point, it's a business, but I wouldn't say a full industry yet. But, you know, it's even, there's stocks that are trading on the stock market.
It is a full-fledged, it's the next greatest wave. And like you said, yes. It's something that we, as, you know, people of color haven't, you know, we've had total barriers to starting businesses, and it's been this kind of thing where there's not a lot of generational businesses we can pass on to our, you know, our children and to the next generation. But this is our opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know, we are 25 years into the dot-com industry, you know, and so we're catching up with that. But this is something that's on the emergence that if we're interested, we can get into right now.
That's right.
And it's something we can pass on.
Right. And the biggest thing that like, again, remember I was saying it drives me crazy mm-hmm. when people think that you have to, like, own a dispensary or you have to grow, like, cannabis in order to be in the business, and you don't. Mm-hmm. There's so many ancillary ends of cannabis that you can get involved with. I mean, just say you want to get into packaging for cannabis products.
Right.
You know, just think simple things like that.
It's floating around. Your opportunity is out there.
That you can be corporate with it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm on the Wall Street level of cannabis, period.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. She's like, period. I'm on Wall Street.
Exactly. And that's where I want to stay. Yeah. You know?
Right. I'm trying to get out of law, but you got me double thinking. Right.
Exactly.
Maybe. Let's not be too premature.
You know what? I have a girlfriend. Exactly. I have a girlfriend, and she's a paralegal, and I have her just setting up corporations for my friends that are getting into the business. Nice. And it's a very successful business for her.
Well, I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. We might have to talk after.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah.
So where can they find you online?
Women Above Ground, mm-hmm. which is spelled ABUV. So womenaboveground.com. Also social media, which is I'm under Bonita Money on Facebook, BoMoney27 Instagram and Twitter as well. And then thatglassjar.com. And please, anybody that's going through any type of ailments when it comes to psoriasis, eczema, any type of MRSA. I mean, I can't make any medical claims,
mm-hmm. right?
But I can tell you this, that it has worked for other people. So, you know, definitely. And I encourage you to get involved in the business. The Green Rush, don't miss it. Create generational wealth. I mean, real important. And for you and your families, I mean, definitely. Get involved and let's ignite our communities to start really, you know, supporting each other, because I think that's the biggest problem
we
have.
So, yeah, I think you're right. And like passing on the knowledge that you have and really educating each other, just kind of keep our minds open.
Absolutely.
To different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, put that hand out, because that's what I don't see in our communities is, you know, that outreach and saying, you know, I will help you. I will mentor you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then some people, we try to educate them and they don't listen.
Well, that, you know, right. that's
another thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. That's a whole other show.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for educating me. And I am so glad that your publicist reached out. Shout out to Alyssa. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Alyssa. Oh, one more thing.
Yes.
Entertainment. Speaking of that.
Oh.
This is called The Potheads. This is an animated series that we're producing now.
Oh, fantastic.
Just so I can show you where, like, mainstream media is going.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably, like, 4 scripted series that's out right now on all the major networks.
Oh, absolutely.
And now we're working on an animated series.
That's fantastic. I know yes. Snoop Dogg has a couple that he's executive producing.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Mary Jane.
So
yep,
you see how we're going mainstream with all
yes.
this?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not like, you know, the subculture that's quiet. I mean,
it's real.
It's very real.
It's very real.
You better get on it.
Thank you so much. I'm your host, Ashita Onray, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Ashita Onray.
And I'm Tara Johnson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagging Her Tail.
Thanks so much, and we're looking forward to inspiring you next week.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.